A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host as we explore the changes at work in the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues that are challenging these arts organizations. Today, I'll speak with the preeminent actor Patrick Stewart, who stars as a classical pianist in a film released earlier this year. Shut in during the spring and summer like the rest of us because of COVID-19, he also began sharing a Shakespearean sonnet a day on social media. He'll share his thoughts about the movie, the sonnets, and the role that music and art can play in our lives. Let's start off today's show with a look at some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. As orchestras and opera companies continue to announce their revised fall season plans, they are exploring a wide variety of new and creative approaches. The New York Philharmonic late last week rolled out, literally, its NY Phil bandwagon. The pickup truck, customized in the Philharmonic's colors of red, white, and black, will visit various parks in all five boroughs, performing what the orchestra is calling pull-up concerts, featuring small ensembles of its musicians over the course of 8 weeks. It will also debut the Ellen Reed Soundwalk, an app-based musical walk through public art in Central Park, with music composed by Ellen Reed. In addition, the Philharmonic has lined up a series of digital performances throughout the fall. You can find more information on these initiatives at nyphil.org. Among other organizations looking to tap into the relative safety of outdoor performances is Atlanta Opera, which is pitching a giant open-sided tent on the campus of Oglethorpe University. The opera company will stage Ruggero Leoncavallo's Pagliacci and Victor Ullmann's The Kaiser of Atlantis between October 22nd and November 14th, with plans to move its originally announced 2020-2021 productions to the following season. Additional details can be found at atlantaopera.org. The prolonged performance shutdown, however, continues to take a financial toll on arts organizations. The Pittsburgh Symphony announced that it has amended its contract with its musicians that calls for a 25% cut to base salaries this season, with plans to restore the salaries next season. The musicians had already agreed to cuts of 10% in May and June and 20% in July and August. Opera America has announced the recipients of more than $900,000 in funding to opera companies to support creative and innovative initiatives in developing new opera and programs, including several that are designed to support and further the goals of diversity and inclusion. Among the recipients are the Glimmerglass Festival, which will work to evaluate and develop strategies and policies to increase equity, diversity, and inclusion for its own operations that could also be shared with other organizations; Washington, D.C.-based InSeries, which is launching a new resident artist program for emerging singers of color; and Opera Cultura, for a commission by composer and librettist Hector Amienta for a song cycle inspired by the stories of immigrant farm workers and day laborers. Other areas of focus include well-being, such as a new music therapy program for patients with Alzheimer's disease created by Opera Saratoga, and climate change, with an initiative from the Center for Contemporary Opera to create carbon-neutral opera. Another recipient is Opera Memphis for its project Zauberverse, which will create a variety of experiences inspired by Mozart's Magic Flute, featuring both digital and live events, such as those drawn from video games, alternative reality games, and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The other recipients are American Lyric Theater, Eugene Opera, Michigan Opera Theater, Nashville Opera, Portland Opera, Opera Omaha, and San Diego Opera. More information is available at operaamerica.org. Those are just some of the headlines this week from around the world of the performing arts. Thank you. The roles that Sir Patrick Stewart has portrayed have taken him from Shakespearean stages and Dickensian England to the far reaches of the galaxy as Captain Jean-Luc Picard on Star Trek, and into the minds of others as Professor Charles Xavier in the X-Men series. His latest movie role takes Stewart to a new frontier, at the keyboard of a concert grand piano. In the film called Coda in the U.S. and Life with Music in some other markets, Stewart plays an aging pianist who is struggling with stage fright and anxiety in his effort to return to the stage decades after the loss of his wife. Katie Holmes co-stars as a music critic who helps him regain his confidence.
You got the heebie-jeebies?
Do you realize how reckless it is to play in front of an audience? It's why they come, you know. Like those cliff divers I saw the other day on TV. People enjoy the show, but really, it's the looming disaster that makes it special.
That's Stewart's character, Henry Cole, talking with his agent, played by Giancarlo Esposito, after rushing off stage following a panic attack. The actual music for the soundtrack was recorded by the Ukrainian pianist Serhii Salov, who also gets a cameo in the film, and whose playing of Scarlatti's Sonata in D minor K1 you heard earlier. The movie, released in late January, about a month before the COVID-19 pandemic began to shut down most of the U.S., covers several themes common to movies about struggling artists, particularly classical musicians. But through conversations between Stewart, Holmes, and other characters, the movie delves into questions about the philosophy of music and the way it can touch the lives of both the musician and the audience. Although not a musician himself, the power of art is something that Stewart understands. Since mid-March, he has been reciting a Shakespearean sonnet a day, which he shares on Twitter, Facebook, and other social media sites, just another example of the way artists have been sharing their own passion for the arts with the rest of us during this difficult time. I reached out and was fortunate to get an interview with him to ask him about the film, his relationship to music and the arts, and why he feels art matters, particularly during our present circumstances.
Well, it came through my agency, ICN. As 90% of the work does. And I was sent a script, and I was intrigued because the problems that our hero is dealing with are problems that I think all artists in the performing arts anyway have at some point experienced. I've never talked to anyone about this. Actors, actresses, singers, musicians who don't say, yes, I know what that feels like. Mm. I've never had panic attacks like Henry in the film does. But I have, on two occasions, waiting to make my first entrance at the first public performance of a show that was difficult. I literally thought the first thing I was going to do on stage was throw up. I felt so nervous. But there's a difference between nerves and panic attacks. Panic attacks take control of you. Hmm. And nerves are something that with breathing and, you know, focusing, you can survive. But I've all my life, I've loved music. Well, all my life, that's not strictly true. I discovered music in my 20s. And I've been associated with professional musicians, including one of my heroes and a dear friend, Emmanuel Ax. He and I have a party piece that we do from time to time. And it's wonderful. I love working with Manny. It's a great experience. And so when this offer came up, I did talk to him a little about it, and he was very helpful and very interesting. And he said, "Indeed, you know, this is commonplace in my business." I was intrigued. I don't play a note of music. And so I spent 3 to 4 months learning how to look as if I could play music. But that's what actors do, you know. We tell beautiful lies And I worked with, I think, three different coaches. And I consulted with Emmanuel Axe. I consulted with John Lill in London. I went to see John do a concert, and we talked afterwards. And these people were extraordinarily helpful. And I loved the feeling that although the pianos were muted or I was not actually hitting the keys, hearing the music being played in a recording and copying as exactly as I knew how, what my hands should be doing, was a fascinating and intriguing experience. And I practiced on my own too for hours at a time, because the most important thing about playing this role was that the audience believed that I was a pianist. And on those occasions when I was actually sitting at a concert grand in a concert hall and the music was being played over loudspeakers, and once or twice I had a 30 or 40 audience in, it was thrilling. I loved every moment of working in this film. And of course, I loved also the people I worked with. Katie Holmes is a terrific actress. And of course, we filmed in Montreal, in Canada. It is a French-Canadian production. And so French was the first language on the set. I speak a little French, but not, a lot more when this production was over. And then we had 10 days in Switzerland filming that last sequence of the film, which was glorious. I'd never been in that part of Switzerland, and I loved it. So the whole experience was delightful.
Wow. And I had wondered how they had filmed those scenes in the concert hall, because, was there an audience there? So it's wonderful to hear what that was like.
Yes, we had about 40 or 50 people, and they would focus on those people. And then when they were doing big shots of the auditorium, then all of that was electronically superimposed.
Right.
There were no full houses or anything like that at all. And of course, I had a body double and also a real pianist whose hands were playing there. Luckily, they found somebody with hands like mine, because I have quite bad arthritis.
Mm.
And by the way, we had delivered to our house here in Los Angeles 3 days ago a beautiful Steinway upright piano, absolutely gorgeous. And because we have a lot of friends, my wife is a musician and singer-songwriter and has many musician friends. So we thought if we had a really nice piano to at least attract a pianist, we could have some musical evenings, which is what we're planning to do. Already we've got people who said, oh, yes, of course. I'd love to come over and play in your house.
Nice.
So.
Well, throughout the movie, one of the focuses of the movie is the philosophy, the role that music plays in the life of the artist, the life of the audience. How did you connect to some of those thoughts? There was the debate over that meal that one time, over how much of it is pretending and how much of it is it's its own, classical music particularly is its own world. Where did you come through in terms of the philosophy of what music means in our lives, perhaps particularly today?
Well, I was not thinking of it in a universal sense at all. Mostly what I was focusing on was personal. How does it feel to be the individual to whom these things are happening and who has had a lifelong passion for what he does? I did talk and have talked often with Emmanuel Axe about music and what it means to him, because he is such an intense, passionate performer. When we were, I also watched hours and hours of videos of great concert pianists playing, hours and hours and hours. It was wonderful preparation. And I decided to go for a pianist, I think German or Austrian pianist, early 20th century. I'm thinking something Heim was his name. And he was, when he played, he was totally still. And his eyes were almost closed all the time. And even though his hands might be doing violent and brisk and, you know, very active movement, his actual body and demeanor was so calm. And occasionally he would just move forward in, on the seat and then move back. And I chose him as my role model, partly because he was easier to fake than you know, pianists. I there was one Hungarian pianist I worked with who was physically all over the place, and I knew I couldn't do that. So that was my approach to that side of it. But you know, there were scenes when I talked with my lady friend about what music meant, and it was in fact in every way easy to take the feelings that I have about acting, particularly live stage acting, and use those experiences from my own life to create, hopefully, a truth about talking about classical music.
I was particularly struck, and it came totally out of the blue, that the final scenes of the movie, where it shows basically the reach and the ripple effects of your performance, of your reactions with different interactions with different people. What did you take away from those final scenes about what you and your art meant for the people the character had come in contact with?
Well, a great deal. And again, I could use experiences from my own life. I did a television series for 7 years called Star Trek, The Next Generation. And many, many times I have had people say to me things ranging from, if it had not been for your show, I would not be alive today, to, you saved my sanity with that show. I got a letter from a Las Vegas police sergeant. This was very early on in the series, and it's my own personal favorite fan letter I ever got. And in the letter, he told me a long letter, about what his job and what he did. And he said he loved his job and always had. He was doing what he'd always wanted to do. But there were some nights when he came home so shaken, dismayed, and discouraged by experiences he'd had during the day that he was in despair. And when he felt that, he would go to his video collection and take down Next Generation and put that on. And that gave him faith in the future. It was such an open, honest, and frank letter that I've known for years what the power of live performance is and the impact that it can have on an audience. The first professional pianist I ever heard play, and I didn't know it was him at the time. I've only learned this quite recently when my wife, who is a singer-songwriter, did some composition for me. Anyway, I went to a concert to see Ella Fitzgerald. This was in the early 60s. Oh, Peterson, she said, and who you must have seen playing the piano with that was Oscar Peterson. I had no idea. And Oscar Peterson was the first professional pianist I heard. And I remember being enchanted by the sounds that both of them made, because she was wonderful. And it was still early enough in her career for her to be alert and lively and interesting. So I have had those experiences related to music. But I use largely my live stage work as inspiration and as a connection and a reference point for what was happening in the film.
And I'm glad you mentioned the Star Trek. I have to admit, I've been geeking out totally for the last few days. So that's definitely something that has been a big part of my life. And I enjoyed your return to Picard. Now, again, talking about inspiration, you've launched during this COVID period a sonnet a day, and I see the responses coming through. What prompted you to do that?
One evening, my wife and I were having a glass of wine, and I think she was reading, and then something floated into my head, and I quoted the opening lines of the sonnet I did just 2 days ago, Sonnet 116, mm-hmm. Let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. And I spoke those lines, and she said, what's that? And I said, oh, it's a Shakespeare sonnet. It's my favorite one. It's a beautiful sonnet. And she said, I want to hear it all. So it happens to be a sonnet that I know by heart. So I did it for her. And she said, you know, I want to record this. And she got out her phone and said, do it again. And so I recorded it and we talked about it. And I have someone in my PR company who handles all social media for me. And we talked to her and she said, why don't you do more? And I said, okay, I'll do that. And when we'd hung up, I remembered something that my mother used to say. I grew up in a somewhat poor household, and she would cut up pieces of fruit for me. And no matter what kind of fruit she was cutting up, she would always say, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. And so when I launched this, I used a sonnet a day. And I was hoping not to dismiss or be lighthearted about coronavirus, because it's serious and tragic. But it was a connection for me. So I committed myself to doing 154 sonnets. And we're nearly there. I think I did 118 last night. It's been a wonderful experience. Some of them I knew very well, I'd worked on in the past. Some I didn't know at all, and some of them are really difficult. But what has been extraordinary has been the response. How many people have told me that they love listening to the sonnet today. And, you know, even in the street, I no longer get people saying, hey, Captain, how are you doing? I get people saying, I love your sonnets. And of course, that's marvelous, isn't it? And I'm sure that Mr. William Shakespeare would be quite pleased if he knew that was happening.
As we hunker down, do you get a sense that our relationship to music and the arts is transforming in some way, is changing? Have you kind of seen that in the people you interact with, or?
I have an awareness, because I haven't actually done any live theater for about 5 years. So I've been in front of cameras all the time. And I have become aware that the style of acting with many young actors has undergone a change, certainly during the last 20 years. There is a greater intimacy about how young people act these days. I know because I'm working with them in Picard. There is more of a commitment of themselves into the work and an honesty and truthfulness, at least a pursuit of honesty and truthfulness that I don't quite ever being close to in the past.
Anything else you'd like to add? I, Sir Patrick, I really appreciate the time.
I think that's been lovely. I've really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you.
That was my interview with Sir Patrick Stewart. You can see him in the movie Coda, written by Louis Godbout and directed by Claude Lalande, on various streaming platforms, including Stars and Amazon. You can also find Stewart's A Sonnet a Day on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And for Star Trek fans, the latest series in the franchise, called Picard, became available via CBS All Access in January. A second season is planned. I hope you enjoy the conversations I bring you each week on A Tempo about the changes and challenges facing the performing arts. But remember that programs like this are made possible only through your support of this station. To become a member of the Classical Network, go to wwfm.org and click on Donate. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening to A Tempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. You can listen to past programs of A Tempo by going to our arts and cultural news page at wwfm.org or searching for A Tempo on our program page. A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.